Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another action-packed episode of The Good
Game
Guys.
With your hosts, TKO,
Dr. Captain,
and Deg. And why are we doing these voices?
And
the Good Game Gal, Stephanie.
Or Stephanie!
Back down, huh?
Welcome back.
Oh, God.
Aw, thank you for the love, guys.
Oh, my God, we just hit her in the face with the 80s. Ugh.
Yes, you did. How dare
you? I'm pretty sure that was a 70s song.
70s? Oh, Jesus. That's
I was born in the end of the 80s, yeah? And I don't remember the
song. Were you alive for them?
Maybe.
I was alive for, like,
was I.
Part of it, like, 4 months.
Spiritually, I was alive.
I was alive for 3 months of the 70s.
Wow. So, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, huh?
Pretty
I
much.
Was a little too young to enjoy that.
So, I enjoyed that from, like, birth.
Vietnam flashback.
True! Especially after you played Call of Duty so much that you, you know, finally emerged from your man cave after solid days of Call of Duty. You go out to check the mail, and the tree casts a shadow on the rooftop across the street, and you, like, duck behind the stairs because you think a German sniper's up there.
This is a true story, folks. I've seen this in person when it comes to TKO here.
That only happened to me once. I only one time thought a German sniper was getting ready to blow off my melon while I was going to check the mail.
Were you ridiculously paranoid or ridiculously drunk?
And guess
50-50?
And guess what? You scarred that kid for life now.
It was a shadow of a tree. Speaking of video game mishaps, anything epic happened to y'all this week?
So I'm going to go ahead and save myself for last because I actually got a bit of a thing I want to bring up afterwards. So,
okay.
Dag, why don't you take the floor with this one?
Sure, I suppose. I really haven't been doing anything crazy. I've just been playing a lot of EVE Online.
Spreadsheets in space?
Spreadsheets in space!
Like,
where you can, you
like 5 years ago when I was first playing the game, I figured, all right, this is kind of slow and boring and it's not really active enough and... You know, the passive skill system kind of sucks and blurdy blur.
So they added anything new?
They've added a bunch of new ships, but no, pretty much everything is relatively the same. I mean, a few wars have passed, but I wasn't there to see them.
So you still click on a target, tell your ship to attack, and go make a peanut butter jelly sandwich, check your email.
Basically.
I don't see how that game has survived so long.
Because there's so much shenaniganry you can get up to in the game. Like, just straight trolling people.
Oh, it's one of those.
There are so many scams in the game where you literally scam people out of millions, if not billions, of in-game currency.
So an area where being a con artist is actually illegal.
Yes. The developers of the game have basically said, that guy that you reported for pulling a scam on you, you were dumb enough to fall for it, so you deserve what you got. They didn't do anything illegal as far as the game rules, because what they did was... allowed inside of the game.
Because the game is kind of like real-life space, you know,
right,
dog-eat-dog world.
Right. It's
or dog-eat-dog galaxy.
It's whatever. All a player-based economy. It's player-based basically everything in low and null sec, the lower security areas. Like, the higher security stuff is for, well, Care Bears who don't want to fight people.
Wait, what?
Okay.
Why do I feel as if you're like giving me a weird look after saying that?
Nah, I wasn't, but all right.
Oh, got so this weird sense of paranoia.
Bear, bear power.
The high security is it's basically the character.
Bear, bear.
Like you don't really fight people in high sec unless you want the police forces like Concord and all that shit to come after you and blow up your shit like that.
So clubby, got you.
Basically, like. Hey, a fun thing to do is to find people that are mining and ejecting their ore into jettison cans so they can hold more. Going up to their can, taking their shit from it, which flags you as a criminal suspect to the player that owns that can. Waiting for them to shoot at you a little bit and then blowing them the fuck up because now you have kill rights.
What? That's messed up.
It's called can flipping, and it's silly, and it's fun to do. There are all sorts of huge scams, though. I mean, like, some of which are so complicated, I don't understand how they work.
Wow.
It's crazy. Like margin scamming is a good example. You can scam people off of a marketplace bid. Like, you buy out all of the lower competitors in the market. You put all the shit that they were selling back up at, like, I don't know, 1.5, 1.6 billion. You set up a short sale buy order and then transfer all of your money to a different account or a different character. So when somebody buys your exorbitantly high-priced shit and tries to sell it back to that margin order to make a profit on it, it doesn't work because your money's not there to back it up. What?
So this is the nerds MMO then, apparently, huh?
It's basically like, yeah, it's the Bernie Madoff MMO, like, you can fuck people royally, and there's nothing they can do about it but get smart.
Yeah, okay.
The Revenge of the Nerds of MMOs.
I guess.
It's like the Ponzi scheme Bernie Madoff of MMOs. It's crazy.
Wow.
And it's so funny to see, like, you know, to see the public chat channels, like local chat and regional, or even the rookie helpline, where people are like, I just bought a bunch of Plex and sold it for in-game currency, and then I got totally scammed. What can I do? Buy more Plex. Like, you just
sucks
gave it away.
Sucks to
be
you.
Yeah, it sucks to be you.
Wow.
Be a little more paranoid.
Wow, that game does not actually sound fun at all.
It's still pretty fun. Like, I've been going the mining route, which is probably the second most boring thing you can do in the game.
Is there something more boring than hitting a rock with a pickaxe?
Yes. Planetary interaction is the most boring shit ever. It's basically like hitting a rock with a big axe, except the rock is a planet, and you set up facilities to do everything for you. So you can just watch numbers climb if you want to.
So you do that, then you go ahead and pop on Netflix and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I will find myself doing the low-level newbie security missions where you actually go out and fight stuff. I'll pop the low-level pirates like zits. I will, you know, clean up the wreck, salvage them, pull the loot out, etc. I'll bring in my miner and just mine all the rocks there without fear of anything because people can't warp to your Dead Space missions. It's like an instance mission.
Huh.
This section of space is where you are, and nobody else can get to it because it is locked down by your mission parameters.
Huh.
So, like, I'll sit there and just AFK mine. Like, I'll point my miner at some rocks, I'll turn it on, I will alt-tab out of the game and watch a TV show or put on Netflix or whatever. I gotta check it every 10 to 20 minutes to poop out another can. But, like, still, it's like, all right.
Wow, I don't see how people are paying a subscription for that game.
Well, the beauty part is because the boring professions are boring, you make a lot of money doing them. Like, I started not really full-time mining, but I'd say I put maybe 4 to 6 hours into the game per day. Mm-hmm. Between yesterday and today, I scored something like 30 million ISK.
Now, I'm going to need a comparison.
It takes about 800 million to buy a Plex, which is a pilot's license extension. It's 30 days of game time, so you can buy game time with in-game currency.
Oh.
Huh.
So when you do the really boring shit, they're like, yeah, this is a job, but it's also necessary. People need the stuff that you're mining, and they're willing to pay for it.
That's kind of okay.
You can just buy one subscription.
I'll be honest, that sounds fucking boring.
It's going to be fucking boring for like the first 2 or 3 months, and after that you don't have to pay to play the game, so then you can start fitting your kill ships,
right? Yeah.
And have lots of fun with it without having to pay a subscription.
Okay, that I can kind of see. Okay. Interesting.
So that's basically what I've been doing, is I've been just skilling up my dudes mining. And when I get back home on, like, Friday or Saturday, I'm going to have a new ship, basically, like the skill to fly mining barge, which will make the whole income process, like, I'll be pulling in 50 to 60 million a day, so in a couple of weeks, I'll be able to buy myself some game time and then just do whatever the fuck I want.
Huh.
You going to be a space pirate?
Probably.
Do you aim to misbehave?
I, in fact, do aim to misbehave.
Are
I
you?
Just have to get to the point where I can do it.
Are you going
to
name your ship the Bebop?
Probably not.
Aw.
See,
I'm not sure I get the reference.
Cowboy Bebop?
Oh, okay.
Nope. Yeah, now I'm thinking of that crossover of Firefly and Cowboy Bebop.
Dude,
why'd you have
so
to do that?
Named my ship Serenity. He's like, let's do this.
But that is pretty much what I'm up to.
Right on. TKO, what about you real quick?
Well, I've been unfortunately flying War Thunder wingmanless.
You've been unfortunately flying in the air? How
dare you? No, I've been flying wingmanless, you know.
You got a whole other, like, group of random people as a wingman.
Random? I should throw something at your head.
You should, but you won't.
Ugh. But, yeah, I got an epic kill this week. I was flying my F-8F Bearcat. I was, you know, stupidly attacking a B-17 from the rear and slightly below it instead of far below it or far above it. It proceeded to blow off my right wing. My plane, of course, lost control, started doing a spin. So my left wing spun all the way around, and it lined up perfectly where I was able to pull the trigger, fire a rocket, blow that B-17's wing off, and then type, ha ha ha, you're coming with me.
I'm taking you to hell with me.
All right.
So you basically had an amazingly lucky shot.
Right? Well timed, though. Like, I had to time it. I go, wait, I'm spinning. Because my plane was spinning, but I had enough momentum where my plane was still going up.
Okay.
So shot down. I noticed my plane was spinning. Like, it spun once all around and was coming back around again. I go, it's going to spin again. So then I waited for the wing to line up and pulled the trigger.
Wow.
So it would be luck if I just spam. No, I went around, and now, boom, we got you, son. And then I was also playing Ground Forces, leveling up my German vehicles, getting prepared for World War mode.
When's that coming?
Oh, God, probably a year.
Oh, okay.
So
it's going to be a while.
Yeah, my U.S. planes will be completely leveled up by then. Also, my tanks should be ready to go. And then I'll be working on the ship so that when World War comes out, boom, I'll be
I'm
done.
I'm still hoping ships will show up anytime soon. I doubt they won't.
I'm hoping they'll be fun.
I hope so,
there's
too.
There's too many bugs currently in the tanks that's going to have to be worked out before I think they're going to be bringing the ships in.
Yeah, there's still too many bugs that need to be worked out in the air.
Not really.
Doug's giving him the look.
Well, no, I spent... Okay, in an upcoming episode, we're going to have actually one of the Gaijin moderators going to be on our show.
Are we actually?
Yes. That's who I was talking to all last night.
Right.
Oh, right.
And
on.
He explained to me a lot of things about how, like, the game that we think are bugs but are actually not. Like, the game was the joystick. Each different flight model responds differently.
Okay.
Especially when you're flying with a joystick.
Sure.
And there's settings that he showed me, which you didn't even know about, that by messing with these settings makes your joystick more responsive.
Okay.
Like when you test flight a plane in test flight mode, what you want to do is have it so that your joystick, so it feels sluggish. Like in test flight mode, you want to feel sluggish.
Okay.
And then when you go and play in the normal game, your controls are spot on. I was like, I did not know that. Like little things that you wouldn't know.
There you go, folks. You got yourself a little tip on how to fly your plane in War Thunder with a joystick.
There's also a way where you can have the settings where the view where your pilot will sit back in the cockpit, which increases your view and precision zoom on how close you get. Instead of just that one button that zooms like this,
yeah.
You can actually control how far back or how far forward you want to see. And
okay.
Using a joystick, that makes your life a lot easier.
Oh, wow. I had to start looking into where that button is.
Yeah. I will actually... put it on Steam for you guys when I get back home. I can go through the menu and look at it.
All right, sure. We'll definitely take a look over that. Stephanie, do you want to go ahead and take the ball real quick?
Yeah, sure. This past week, I was over at Comic-Con, so that was freaking epic.
I'm psychic. It's playing Tomb Raider.
What was that? Did you see the picture of me dressed up as Tomb Raider?
No, I'm psychic. Your gaming this week was Tomb Raider.
Oh no, I didn't get to game. I literally was, I was at the convention like the whole time. So, it was so epic though. I did dress up as Lara Croft actually while I was there.
So she was
and it was pretty entertaining. What was that?
So you were real life Tomb Raiding.
Oh, absolutely. I was totally freaking real life Tomb Raiding. It was pretty cool. And I actually met with the director of the convention and events, and she asked me if I'd be interested in doing cosplay for it.
Right on.
I was like, yeah.
Weren't you already?
That'd be like a World War II aviation museum saying, hey, would you like to participate in a mock dogfight, Mustangs versus 109s?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I was kind of like, well, why else would I be dressed like this?
Stephanie, let's be honest with ourselves. You just wear a Lara Croft's outfit to work every day.
Right?
Can I be completely honest? I just am Lara Croft. Like, literally, I had all of my friends when I put on, I was wearing my clothes. All I had to do was put on the freaking, what's it called? The gun holsters on my legs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was it.
Damn, you got a fucked up life.
I just turned into Lara Croft. That was it. You know, so I definitely, I mean, it was pretty epic. I can't even tell you. I was geeking out like crazy there, like just everything. And just, it was just such another world. And I'd never been to Comic-Con before, so this was new to me. Wanted to go. It was sick.
Here's the real question for you. While you were cosplaying as Lara Croft, did you run into Deadpool?
Speaking of Deadpool.
He's like, bring it.
Yeah. What do we think of all that? You guys saw that the trailer was leaked, right?
I was actually more talking about the guy that cosplays as Deadpool and does really hilarious shit.
Oh, no. Okay, never mind. I thought we were talking about the leaking of the trailer. Okay.
I didn't actually hear trailers because I heard Marvel was being very hush-hush on a lot of their future projects.
They are. So that was just a complete mess up. Like, that should have never occurred. So, you know, it is what it is. Anyways, I thought you guys were mentioning that. I did not actually see the guy who cosplays for Deadpool, so I'm not really sure. But it was sweet. Nonetheless, I mean, it was totally epic. Like, I got to meet, like, the co-creator, Kevin, which is for the original Ninja Turtles. That was super sweet.
So did you ask him how devastated he was that what Michael Bay did to his franchise?
You know what? I thought about doing it, but he's one of my boyfriend's friends, and I just felt like it might be wrong for me to go ahead and cross that line. So I didn't know if I wanted to go that route, but I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, he's still banking off of it.
Where's your goddamn journalistic integrity, right?
You should have asked him, what do you
think of
Teenage Mutant Ninja Ogre?
Listen, it's such a fine line because it was the first time I was meeting the guy. So it's like, do I want to be that girl? Because now I got to play the good girlfriend, and then I also got to be, you know, a true journalist to all this stuff, you know, and a true, you know, fan. So it's like, what do I do? It's a very interesting tightrope to walk.
You ask the hard questions. Is what you do,
right?
From here on out, this is
listen, guys.
You aim for the diaphragm, and you have little tiny fists, so it'll focus all of the pressure into like a smaller PSI, causing more damage.
Just take him out. No, I mean, you know what? Give me till the second time we talk. Then I'll go ahead and I'll really dig down deep.
You gave me an interesting idea. I'm going to put in a suggestion to Epic Rap Battles of History now. Lara Croft versus Sarah Palin.
What?
Oh, my.
Sarah Palin really isn't relevant anymore.
Fine. Condoleezza Rice versus Lara Croft.
That matchup doesn't even make sense.
That's not really relevant either.
No. Okay, just no. Just go. Take yourself to the shame corner.
Just no. You know what? How about Stephanie versus Lara Croft? There we go.
All right. All right, Stephanie, real last thing I want to ask real quick before I take the helm. All right.
I got
a little bet right now on how much more like cosplayers of a particular fandom you saw. And right now it's Doctor Who versus Klingons. So which did you see more of?
Wait, what was it? How many? What did I see more of as far as cosplayers?
Yeah, as far as like cosplayers are concerned, did you see more Klingons or did you see more people cosplaying as Doctor Who?
That's kind of not fair. Because to cosplay as Doctor Who, what do you need? A cheap suit, some jeans, and some hair gel. Okay. To cosplay as a Klingon, you need some work.
You gotta have the perfect hair, though.
It's a hair gel. You gotta have the armor and the pointy boots. The bat lip and the forehead ridges and your language, tone. Right?
You want the truth?
The kick-ass
there were much
battle hair.
Doctor Who. There's way more Doctor Who.
Way more.
Of course,
yeah,
you can do
way
it for like $30.
I don't know. I have
Get a scarf and a screwdriver. You're done.
Right?
Oh,
that's all you need.
Fourth doctor right there, I see.
Taking it back to having never watched the show, but seeing all sorts of pictures of goofy-looking people.
And a funky-colored blazer. You're good.
There you go, man. Alrighty.
Well, it's BBC, so.
Get a hot British on your arm.
One kind of cool thing, though, I don't know if you guys, I mean, I know I keep up more with, like, as far as, like, the entertainment industry goes to, you know, within video games, but also within Hollywood and stuff. But I know Daniel Radcliffe was actually dressed up as Spider-Man and was just walking around, and no one even knew because he's wearing a mask the whole time. So I thought that was kind of cool.
You know, funny enough, I guess I could kind of segue into this real quick. I remember hearing something about John Cena apparently went around. I think it was John Cena. It was definitely a wrestler, and I'm going to go ahead and just say John Cena.
Probably something he'd do.
Went to Comic-Con with a John Cena mask on.
Wow.
I'll fact check that later.
He was walking around Comic-Con with a mask of his own face.
Of his own face, yeah.
The shit, like, that's comedic genius. Really, really well played.
Right.
Oh, man. But
wow.
Anyway, so I'll go ahead and start home as far as what I've done this week. So what I've done this week, I went ahead and took the opportunity to pick up Dead Island since the franchise was on sale for about $7.50.
Oh, wait,
you only give it on
computer.
Well, yeah, on computer.
Okay.
What the hell was that?
Wait, you got Dead Island instead?
Well, no, I'm going to have to beat, of course, Dead Island before the new one comes out. I'm like, I got it on PlayStation, and it's like, all right, we'll kill zombies. No, we won't. We will not kick zombies in the chest together. No. Nope.
It still has some issues. I'm still trying to figure out how to get running just right.
Like?
I don't know how to turn off motion blur since it's not an option.
Motion
blur.
Go into the INI file.
Okay. We'll figure this one out later. But yeah, I'm basically starting to replay the first Dead Island again. And I also went ahead and decided to pick up, since I had some extra change left over thanks to the Steam card I got, to pick up Darkwood, which was a Kickstarter game that I was actually kind of looking forward to way back when, where it's a top-down kind of survival horror type of a game.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know how you feel with it being top-down, but trust me, the tension's there.
You can see everything around you.
No, you can't, actually. You actually have a straight-up cone of vision. Like, the area is just completely dark. And
but
you
it's
can
still 360 view. You're not going to just turn around and see a zombie looking at you with a rape face.
It's not a zombie, thankfully.
Or a ogre or whatever it is.
It's Voorhees, man. Well, not really, but think of it like a straight-up slasher. It's like just from the few moments I've played of it, because I was thinking to myself, you know what? I think this would be a great game to stream. So, folks, when I figure out just how to fine-tweak a few things here and there, I'm going to stream that live for you guys so you can see how scared I get.
Lol, do you have a face cam?
No.
Fail.
What?
They're not going to see how scared you get.
They can hear it.
But they're not going to see it.
Do I really need to be the next PewDiePie?
Hopefully you'll
do
be.
Do you want to be the next PewDiePie?
Right.
How's it going, bros?
I
Brofist.
Yeah.
I would rather be the pinata at the next clan party than be him.
Oh, wow.
Fair enough.
Stop hitting me. I don't have any candy.
Well, let's see. Aside from that, what I've also done is played a lot of XCOM as of recent. Right. God damn, that's been my new addiction.
Yeah, instead of leveling up your planes.
It is a fun addiction. Like, TKO, you will abandon planes if you start playing XCOM.
I doubt that. I think he would enjoy XCOM. But I think he would get over it before he would get over War Thunder.
Maybe. I don't know. I have my hopes.
No.
But anyway,
I'll take bets on that.
Oh, shit.
Dude, World of War mode is coming on.
TKO, if you abandon War Thunder, I'll split the winnings with you.
Lol. Cheer.
Wow. He's right here, dude.
That bet is off the table.
I know. Fail.
Oh, man. So, anyway, yeah. So, I've been getting into a lot of XCOM. I don't have the expansion pack, which I suppose kind of takes a little bit away from me. And I had a very depressing moment where I lost my, believe, corporal. Is the max rank? Colonel, yeah. Get the horns going. He died protecting us from the psychic alien scum.
Yes.
Colonel, isn't it?
Yeah, Colonel, I believe.
He died in the process of spreading democracy throughout the galaxy.
And let me guess, you only had a squad of those six guys?
No, I had backup people. Like, I actually was taking some of the lower-ranked people in order to try and get them boosted up as well.
All right.
So the new assault I'm kind of happy with. I lost Septic, which was my guy's code name.
Okay.
And in Septic's place, I now have Werewolf.
You had an assault guy named Septic.
I had an assault guy from Argentina named Septic.
What? You had a Septic assault.
Yeah.
That's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
He fucking rocked, too. He got, like, his final score count was 63 aliens.
Let me rewind this for just a second. You had a Septic assault.
Yeah, I did. Took out 63 aliens in the process, man.
That's a whole lot of shit spraying all over aliens.
So, did you posthumously award him the Medal of Awesome Valorous Alien Ass Kicking?
Oh, he's definitely getting something. He's probably still kicking aliens' ass in hell right now.
He's getting a tombstone, and you're getting a new squad member.
Yeah.
That's because SOCOM Marines, they don't die. They just go to hell and regroup.
Pretty much. So, yeah, that was kind of a depressing moment. And around that time, it was recovering one of the latest mission-related items. Like, it's this weird purple globe kind of a thing, which I guess is supposed to lead to the end game.
He died for a purple lava lamp?
Well, actually, he died trying to capture the really psychic alien, because apparently I didn't know that alien likes to blow up when it dies.
Oh!
I know, really shitty, too. And he was stabilized.
Oops.
I know, right?
Oh!
So I was just fighting, but like I was fighting it within myself, going like, "Do I really want to restart this mission again? Do I really want to restart this mission again?"
Wait, restart? Oh, you're not even playing on Iron Man.
No.
Fail.
I'm new to the game.
You didn't lose that guy. You can just go back to an older save.
Not anymore. I got rid of that save.
Why would you do something like that and not play on Iron Man? Iron Man does that automatically for you.
Because, to be honest, it's my first time playing XCOM.
I understand. I never play Ridiculous
But you're
mode.
Getting rid of your own saves. Why not just play Iron Man and get the achievement?
Nah.
Because not only would he be getting rid of his own saves, but the game would be way more difficult since he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, no. It you can play Iron Man on normal difficulty.
You could?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh.
I thought it was strictly like a higher level thing.
No. Iron Man is the adjustment where the game auto-saves, and it continuously keeps your one save game updated.
Oh, okay.
So when someone dies, they're gone for good. But it's not really a difficulty setting. The difficulty settings that you would find are also going to be, like, classic and impossible. And you don't want to play those on Iron Man for your first time playing the game.
Okay, all right, well, now I know. So,
dude, like,
I'll probably give that another shot.
Speaking of which, man, what are some of the most ridiculous like difficulties like the you heard in games?
Impossible Iron Man is probably the most difficult thing I have played.
No, I'm talking about not difficult. Just like when you hear what it's called, you're like, I don't know if I even want to try that.
You don't want to try it at that level, yeah.
Like suicide mode. It's like, I don't know if I want to do this.
Hearkening back to Doom, there was Death Incarnate.
Wasn't there, like, Nightmare mode as well?
Nightmare was Quake.
Was that Quake?
Yeah.
But that's not really an intimidating name of a mode, like Suicide mode. I was like, no. Because I called God of War 2, I called the hardest difficulty Are You Out of Your Damn Mind mode. That's what I called it personally.
Sure. You couldn't really select the difficulty, but Ninja Gaiden...
Oh, Ninja Gaiden
that's
mode.
Just the game itself,
enough said.
Though.
Right.
Ninja
exactly.
Gaiden mode.
All right, yeah. I see
exactly.
What you're
like,
the whole game. You win. No. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1 for Nintendo hard mode.
Ooh,
electric seaweed mode.
Really? It's like, how is this a thing?
You wouldn't think that sounds terribly difficult. In fact, it sounds kind of funny. Electrified seaweed, right?
Yeah.
Nope, you're fucked.
Try to swim. No, no.
Oh, no.
You got one pixel of leeway there. Have fun doing that on an NES D-pad.
I want to know what game broke the most controllers. That game or the Ghouls and Ghosts series?
I'd say Top Gun.
Oh, really?
I went there.
No, that's no. Mm-mm.
Top Gun, to be fair, was like a terrible, shitty game.
Yeah.
It was.
But
how the hell are you supposed to land?
You don't. With a power glove.
You right? You face palm with a power glove, and then by face palming, you land somehow.
You throw your controller in the blender and then put it on pulse.
But seriously, that's a turkey game. How are they expecting 8-year-olds to beat that?
You're not supposed to.
My dad couldn't beat that. My dad, Marine Corps, couldn't beat that. Yep. He almost broke down in a tears.
You want to know the shitty part, too, is I had a Game Genie back in the day, too.
And it still couldn't beat it.
I still couldn't beat it.
It's like, I'm cheating my ass off, and I can't beat this game. Like,
you still can't win.
Right?
For Battletoads, you could memorize the sequence on that car thing.
Oh, yeah.
So it took a while, but you could beat it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Nope.
Nope.
That's because gravity was, like, trolling you. You'd be swimming, and all of a sudden gravity goes, ha-ha, yanks you into something. Like, wait, what?
Right, right. There's this pit in underwater that is pulling you down into the electric seaweed.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute.
That seems to be growing off the ground like stalagmites.
And from the ceiling at certain points.
Uh-huh.
And Newton's law decides to randomly stop working.
Or to work over.
First law, I mean. Yes.
Yeah.
First law goes, ha-ha, guess what? All right, I'm going to hit the swim button a couple times, let my inertia carry me up. All of a sudden, first law fail. Boom! Wait, what? Where's the... Wait, what?
Oh,
you died,
man.
And then you shrank back to a normal turtle, sad face. Go play another one.
Yep. I don't think I ever got past that level. I don't think the cartridge survived.
So which was the turtle that you guys want to find in that game?
Me, I was Leo. Always Leo. Dual-wielding katanas, baby.
Donatello. He was the only one that could actually take down a full square.
Huh.
It's kind of weird, too, when you think about it.
I tended to play any of them.
But you had your favorite turtle. Everyone has their favorite turtle.
Well, my favorite is obviously Raphael.
Dude,
obviously
Michelangelo, man. What the hell?
Obviously Raphael.
Dude.
I can't deal with Michelangelo.
You can't. How can you not deal with Michelangelo?
He's kind of amazing.
Because he's pants on head retarded.
He's... What? Dude, of the fucking 80s and 90s,
but Raphael,
man.
But Raphael's like, he's really my favorite
goddamn childhood.
He's not a
and you can't fucking handle him.
He's not a funny dick. He's just a dick. Like, Leonardo and Donatello, they're cool people, you know what I'm saying? But Raph is like, dude, Raph, really? Really? Was that necessary, Raph? Really? Like, go sit in the corner and think about what you've done.
Dude, Raph, now you're just being a dick. Yep.
Oh, God.
I'm kind of scared of the new movie, but I kind of want to see it.
I don't.
It's going to be like a train wreck, and I can't stop watching.
No,
like, everything about that movie makes me sad face. First, the turtles are these, like, 9-foot, like, 8-foot wide walls of muscle. I'm like, that looks very ninja-ly and stealthy, like they'd be able to, you know.
Didn't
right.
they, like, give Michelangelo, like, dreadlocks or something?
Shit, no.
I thought so.
No.
There was some.
No, they
didn't. The turtles' hair?
No.
Really?
They gave them arms this huge around.
Nobody can see you doing that.
Okay.
They also just really freaking creepy. It's almost like you can see their brains, like, seeping through, like, their scalps. Like, it's weird. It just, I don't like it.
Fair enough. They look ridiculous. Like, why would you give turtles lips?
Right? Well, okay. In fairness, mutagen, adding human DNA to them would give them, you know...
And let's not forget that Shredder's a Transformer now, apparently.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if they're Krang.
Here's
Michael Bay's doing this movie instead of M. Night Shyamalan.
So hang on, actually, in the topic of Krang, do you think they're actually going to make Krang his own character, or are they going to do that thing where Krang was Shredder all along?
That was retarded.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Shredder's an angry Japanese dude. From Japan, not from space.
Lol.
To be fair, though, that series did have a bunch of other cool things. Casey was fucking awesome.
Casey's awesome in whatever series he's in.
He was better off in the 4Kids version. Think about it.
I'm not sure I saw that.
Me neither.
Yeah, that was the one where apparently where Krang was Shredder the entire time.
Oh, God, yeah, that's what... Okay, now. I heard that.
There were some cool moments in that particular series. Like, if you ever get a chance to watch that particular Ninja Turtles, check it out sometime.
That's not saying much. There's also some cool moments, like, in an airplane crash, like that first 5 seconds where it's like a roller coaster until you realize you're going
to die.
You're bringing
everything back to airplanes.
No,
dude.
I mean,
you
like,
just wanna,
liner,
like
airliner crash. Okay, fine,
you just
train
fucking,
crash.
Do you want to just fucking marry an airplane at this point? Like, we'll just go to a fucking, like, Air Force and just...
Dang, because I've been thinking about it, like, huh, I saw Sexy 109 the other day.
I've seen porn of that.
It's like, ooh, look at the ass on F4U Corsair. Oh, my God, girl, work it.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Configuration.
Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. Fine, I have to retract
back
the first
that
five,
up.
The first 5 seconds of a train crash. You're like, wait, this is kind of fun. Wait a minute.
Now you're cheating on your airplane wife on a train?
I don't think you got 5 seconds in a train crash. You pretty much got the impact and then splat.
Well, now if you're in one
there's free fall.
Now if you're in one of the rear cars and it derails and starts rolling instead of sudden stop. If it derails, you're just rolling around going, woo-hoo-hoo! Michelangelo would enjoy it, of course, but, you know.
Michelangelo could just skateboard off that.
Okay.
Would Raphael do that?
Yeah,
He would just throw so much snark at it, it got back on track.
nice one. That
I can't be mad. That's well played, sir. Well,
that was his good game guys statement of this season.
That train would fucking act right.
Okay.
Oh man.
Wow. I just pictured a comic of that in my head, and that's just hilarious.
Fans, get that.
Like Raph is standing on the track, you see a train derailing and flipping. He's like, "Hey, cut it out!" Train's like.
And that's it. He just flips right back onto the track.
Right.
Oh, and you see Michelangelo's like, aw.
Would Donatello just be there trying
to
scientific reason?
Yeah,
he would probably be face-palming the whole time.
His head would probably explode and numbers would come flying out.
I would figure, like, Leonardo would be the one face-palming the entire time.
He's too busy throwing out snark.
Leonardo?
Oh, no. Wait, what? I got confused. I wasn't really paying attention to what you were saying.
Okay.
Wow.
No, we'll just leave it at that then, I guess.
That works.
Oh, my God!
So one thing I did actually want to bring up with XCOM is that I pretty much got to the point where it's like, beyond this point is the end game stuff. And I want to actually kind of bring this up to you guys during the show is, do you ever feel like that kind of ruins the game a little bit?
What?
So,
when
all right.
I warn you that the mission you're about to enter is the last mission?
Yeah.
That depends on the style of game and how compelling the story is. XCOM's story wasn't really compelling. You're not playing XCOM for the story.
And
yeah.
It's a military game, so you're going to kind of know, hey, comrades, we are about to burn Berlin to the ground. Well, that's the capital of Germany. I think the war is about over.
Right, right. When we succeed
in
the mission.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So.
So. I mean, yeah, and XCOM,
I guess it depends.
Yeah, it depends.
I kind of feel like it really does kind of stop me from continuing playing some of the games. Like XCOM, I almost kind of feel like, oh, God, now I can't enjoy this game anymore. Now I'm at the last mission. I felt this way about Fallout as well for the longest time.
I can't enjoy this game anymore. It's the last mission. How about you beat it and then start a new game on a higher difficulty?
Right.
It's a tactical, turn-based game.
It's a military game.
Yeah, but you're
always going to know when you're on your last mission.
I guess, but at the same time, it's all like, God damn it, I got to this fucking work already. I don't want to start all over just yet.
Yeah.
Especially when I just got some psionic people.
That also...
You started on that a bit too late then.
That also brings me to a question I have for everybody.
I guess so, because I made sure to be like as far technologically advanced before I assaulted that base.
Yeah, that was probably a mistake.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah, you can start building your town, guys, after, like, maybe the 10th mission.
Huh.
How many missions are there?
A whole lot.
Huh. So, like, now, on that topic, well, similar, what do you guys feel about New Game Pluses?
I'm kind of fine with it.
That's also going to depend on the game.
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't matter what game. I liked it.
I'm always fine.
I like to have an option of a New Game Plus, because, like... Okay, prime example where I really like a New Game Plus, if another game is coming out in the line, and I want to beat the game, have my other stuff I had, but not have to worry about the now I got to go and search every corner, collect all these 52 pieces of this epic armor. I just want to play the game for the story to refresh myself for the next game coming out.
I like that form of New Game Plus. I don't like the original Metal Gear Solid's New Game Plus, where it was basically like you get a bandana that's what
infinite ammo,
or you get a
cloaking
camo
device,
suit that's cloaking. Yeah, and it's like that just kind of feels like a cheese. Like that's really cheating.
Yeah, but
three with all of your stuff unlocked is kind of the same as going through Metal Gear with infinite ammo.
I suppose so.
You just want to have the story fresh in your mind, so you know, boom, you want to go through,
I was gonna
murder everything, have the story refreshed, and be able to play instead of going, oh, now I have to start all the way over and do this whole painful process of, you know, collecting all this, finding all that.
Right.
I was going to say, like, the best example of, like, a new game plus would be, like, during the Resident Evil Silent Hill era.
Resident Evil 4, that kind of where you beat the game, you keep the weapons and ammo you had, so you could be like, all right, I just want to go blow through the game real quick for the story because 5 is coming out.
Or just, like, decide to try out some of the different weapons this time around.
Yeah.
Since you got the money to just sell it. All right, you know, I tried the shotgun. How about I give the, you know, the riot shotgun a try this time around?
Yeah. That's also kind of the story with XCOM, is the game isn't really long enough to experience everything in one playthrough until you know exactly what you're doing. So you can focus on a number of different things and modify your playstyle. It's like playing a new game.
After you beat the game, your squad keeps its points, you can go start again or something?
Negative.
Oh.
Well, you get to start all over, but it's a tactical turn-based game where the difficulty increases as your characters level up.
Okay.
Well, why don't I go ahead and open up this question to the fans? In all honesty, fans, if you're listening right now, here's the question. Do you feel like the warning of this is the last mission ruins the game, and how do you feel about New Game Plus? To call in, all you need to do is just, you know, dial us up on the phones with 914-338-1303, or you can also Skype us at GoodGameGuys1.
Because I think that's what ruined Mercenaries 2 for me.
Mm.
No New Game Plus.
The New Game Plus. I was going to say, as far as, like, knowing that it's the very last level for me, I think kind of puts a whole lot of pressure on me, where I'm just like, damn it, I should have done better throughout this. I'm like, I could have gotten this, I could have done that. You know? Oh, and, like, I get kind of, like, very frustrated then because I made it to the end and I feel like I didn't get to, like, level up on everything that I wanted to, and I didn't get to do that. And, like, I don't know. It puts too much pressure.
Steph, what about
those... too much pressure to finish on me.
What about those games that lock you in? It's like, ha-ha, this is the last level, so now you're stuck here, so make preparations. Like, wait, what? I can't go... I skipped the mission to do this mission first because I thought I... Damn it!
Oh, and you can't go back to anything? Yeah, that's...
Yeah. I hate that.
That's not fine.
Have you got,
yeah, I don't like that.
The
New Game Plus stuff is cool, though. I think that's, like, a nice option, especially if, like, it's not, like, a ridiculous type of perk that you get, because then it still makes it exciting, you know, and I feel like it gives you a little bit of an edge, and you can get through the game a little bit quicker in the beginning stages, at least, and then I'm sure it still levels out once you get in midway through, you know, so...
Right, like the New Game Plus on The Last of Us basically lets you keep the upgrades that you already created, but it doesn't give you new ones. So if you didn't get all of them, you have to go and collect more shit to upgrade more of your weapons.
But still, it's like you
still get to keep the upgrades that you had. So it's like, all right,
that's cool.
Yeah, I want to go back and experience this game, and I'm already way more advanced than I would have been at the starting. So that's pretty easy, but still, most of the way through the game, it's like, oh Jesus, it's still The Last of Us.
Yeah, but still, though, you could go through The Last of Us like with that feeling, like I belong. I'm a vet, you know. I can go through this, you know. I kind of like that, like, you know, because
I'm more veteran,
bounty hunter.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what, man? This is my life, dog. I got this down.
We've been doing this shit for years.
Right?
Yeah, I know. Right? But it is nice being able to go through and kind of skip through the beginning levels, because the beginning levels sometimes are so, like, it's just, like, very expositional, you know? That's kind of like, yeah, it's setting you up for everything, but it's much nicer if you can just get past that because you have a little bit of an advantage, so,
Have you played Mercenaries, Stephanie? The first Mercenaries game?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. Okay, now, the game, you guys have played it, right?
Yeah, I played the first Mercenaries.
Oh, okay. It's probably one of the funnest games, the first one I've ever played.
Huh.
It's like an open world, right? And it's third person. Now, you're over in Korea, right? And there's a war going on. And there's factions. There's the South Koreans, the North Koreans, there's the Chinese, the Russian Mafia, and then there's, of course, the UN. And you can go to their different areas and accept missions.
Okay.
So you're like, all right, cool, we'll go to America. America's like, we want you to go here and, you know, fight off the North Koreans that are over here. So you go there and you fight, you get money and stuff. And you can call in support. Like, you'd be like, all right, I need a Jeep. So they'll airdrop a Jeep, and you hop in a Jeep and drive around.
You can even
call
in, like, you know, strike missiles.
And then you can call in airstrikes, bunker busters, napalm, freaking cruise missile attacks, all kinds of stuff. So you're running around, you'll see a fortified enemy bunker, and you'll be like, beep, $50,000, A-10 Warthog. Boom. right?
Wow.
Yeah, so once you beat the game, you have all these airstrikes and all this stuff unlocked, and you have, you know, millions of dollars. So I'm like, I want to drop a bunker, I mean, a, what's it, shoot, it's that really massive bomb that they dropped in Korea that would just blow out entire areas and form football zones. I mean, not football zones, landing zones. But you can.
Oh, right.
Oh, what is it called?
I forget the name of them. Shit.
Oh, someone in the forums. You know what I'm talking about? That big, stupid Moab. Yeah. Mother of all bombs. Yes, Moabs. You can drop a Moab on a building.
Moabs are more recent than that.
They had a version of it in Vietnam. Okay, the one. Fuel air bomb, whatever. It just goes boom, and it blows everything up. So
yeah, a fuel air bomb would do that.
It's just hilarious when you beat the game. You're like, all right, I'm going to beat the game. I'm coming back for fun. You just walk around. You're just up in a freaking mountain with a sniper rifle scope going, all right, airstrike that. F-15s take out that. And all of a sudden, you just stand there in flame and debris and parts of North Korean tanks are flying through the air.
I even love the fact that you could actually, like, destroy buildings in that thing, too.
Oh, yeah, you could level entire buildings.
That was definitely the fun thing about it.
Yeah. Like, Mercenaries 2 had a lot of that stuff with the invention of helicopter.
Mercenaries 2 kind of took away a lot of what was fun about Part 1.
And the fact that you couldn't do a new game plus. Now, the really bad thing was, at the very end of the game, you choose between joining America and joining China, I think it was.
In 1 or 2.
In Part 2. So I go, okay, I'm going to go through America, and then I'm going to go through a plus, and then you'll see what happens on the Chinese end. No. In the game, game's over. If you want to see what China did, now you have to play through the entire game, recollect all of your stuff, do all that over again, and then to get to it. So I only beat that game once because, like, I'm not doing all of that over again.
Yeah.
I had an impressive arsenal. In that game, you get a mansion, this big mansion that's your headquarters. So your vehicles, you just parked in the garage. You can go into your house, and you'll see all these racks, like in a warehouse, of all the weapons and airstrikes and bombs you have stored up there.
Hmm.
Ah, oh, good times. Okay, I'm sitting
there. So anyway,
I'm sitting there having a cup of coffee, sitting
Time's
on a 1,000-pound bomb.
Right now.
I know.
Time for your cigarette. Just had.
Yeah.
While we're waiting on callers, I'm gonna go ahead and move ourselves over to something to the little bits of news here and there that I have managed to find. Thankfully.
Oh.
So I figure T, you probably be able to maybe answer a little bit of this because apparently. One of the directors of the new Tekken game was actually trying to say that they want to try and make Tekken 7 easier to approach because apparently a lot of fans wound up skipping Tekken Tag Tournament 2 because they felt it was difficult learning two different characters. Which I think is kind of cop-out, really, because I remember there was solo mode in that, wasn't there?
No.
There wasn't?
Mm-mm.
Tekken Tag 2?
Yeah.
I don't remember there being a solo mode.
I remember you had a choice between having a partner or just doing it solo.
That's Naruto, Ultimate Ninja.
So no, it was also in Tekken. I remember that.
I don't either.
Wait, what was it?
That you could choose to fight one-on-one in Tekken Tag. I don't recall that. I recall Tekken Tag being Tekken Tag.
Well, okay, but regardless, I think even then, like, despite the fact, because I'm still sure Part 2 brought that in, but we'll move on from that.
Well, I laugh at that statement because me, I'm an old school Tekken player. I started Tekken in Tekken 2 when that came out in the arcades. Then I ended up going back and, of course, mastering Part 1 as well. But in Tekken Tag, I was like, I already right now have mastered pretty much the entire Mishima line.
Well, sure, but
and,
I mean, you've got the experience of playing every game in the series up to this point. I think they're trying to make it easier to access for new players.
Well, the only, I guess, like, the raid system really is the only thing that I say really needs to go.
Yeah,
there's, I always felt the game
that.
In itself was pretty easy to kind of pick up as it was.
Well, also because the game handholds you. Like, cool. When you go into the command list, it literally goes, here's all the moves. Here are 10 sample combos of how to use these moves. And here's how you do this. Like, can't get any easier than that, people.
Sure, sure. Memorize all these 10 strings. I know people that can't memorize a 10-digit phone number.
It was kind of funny, and I still have all the 10 strings.
Yeah, but if you know your character that you're playing with, I mean, if you have, like, a particular character that you like to focus on, you kind of get it down. I mean, I don't know. I used to play it a lot.
Yeah,
so,
over time,
yeah.
You'll figure out what you can do in response to what other people can do.
Okay, I will admit this. I've been explaining Tekken to people like a real martial arts, and you got to put years to master characters in Tekken. Like, you may, oh, I know all the moves. I'm talking about to truly master them. It's literally like a martial arts. You got to train and I mean, you really got to know your character. So, I forgot about that aspect of the game. Yeah, it could be a bit like a real martial arts to learn how to play it.
Yeah, I did kind of see a little bit of that, but I suppose you could also apply that logic to any fighter game, to be honest.
Not so much to the depth of Tekken. It's like, wow, Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom and those kind of games, it's like, you can pick it up and master your character relatively fast.
There's not as many combos that you
need to learn
those.
Different combos with, you know, different teams of characters in Marvel vs. Capcom.
I suppose so.
Put it this way.
Yeah,
try one. I'll say two characters in particular in Tekken. That's like, dude, sorry, King, Nina, her sister. My bad. More than three. And I think the new, I forgot the new guy's name. This big UFC fighter dude who have all these freaking grab starters, grabs from behind, chain link throws from a certain area.
Was he the Muay Thai fighter?
No, that's Bruce Irving.
Okay.
No, Marduk was Valetudo.
Okay.
So, I mean, that get literally, if you, like, those two characters, you're talking about higher time to master them than even the normal Tekken character.
King was my boy, and I've forgotten most of his chain throws again.
Yeah, that's like a game where, if you don't play King for, like, you know, a few months, you'll forget it.
Well, because, you know, you've got chain throws where to initiate the throw, you have to basically do a dragon punch with your left punch and right kick simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
or both punches.
Then, as you're in the animation for that, you gotta hit left punch, left kick, right kick, and then both punches simultaneously to string into the next chain. Then you gotta hit something stupid like right punch, down, and both punches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Jesus, like, some of the ending throws in his chains were 3- and 4-button combos,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, alright, I need to hit both punches, and then both kicks, and then, like, both punches and a kick, and then all four, and if you fuck up on the button input by, like, 5 nanoseconds in between the string for one and the other, it doesn't count as a simultaneous button press.
There's paths. So you go four down, forward, both kicks. Then you go, you know, left punch, right kick, or if your opponent knows you do that too much, you can then go both kicks, both punches, and left punch, right kick to try to throw him off.
You can string together a lot of his
and there's like
throws.
6 or 7 different chains with multiple. With switch-ups in the chain.
Yeah, there are a lot of crossover throws that you can do, and it's, like, I used to have them all down.
You could have, like, a 10-page strategy guide just on King alone.
10 pages?
Well, okay, you could have a whole strategy guide on King alone, and then have a separate strategy guide for all the other Tekken characters.
Because, I mean, keep in mind that King also,
Nina.
Fights outside of the grapple.
Not to mention he has an entire move list of strikes and stuff.
Outside of the grapples. In fact, he's got like 4 different 10 strings on top of the grapples.
Like, when I was in tournaments in Japan, King actually probably was one of the characters that I feared a good one of. Like, I sat there with the strategy guide, with my montage music playing, learning what button to get out of what part of the throw,
right.
Learning King's animation. Okay, when King puts his right knee on the... King puts his knee on the ground and his left hand on his shoulder, hit box or I die, you know?
Right.
I got to interrupt this real quick. So you're saying you're in your montage mode. What was your montage song playing in the background?
Oh, it was 2 of them.
It can either come down to Eye of the Tiger.
That was one of them.
Or You're the Best Around.
No, it was the other Rocky song. It was like,
Hearts on Fire,
yeah.
Really?
That was also one of the ones I played during
montage. You fucking have Hearts on Fire as your montage song?
You know, but let the, you know, square, 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 triangle, 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 square, X, 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 box, box. Oh, yeah.
Triangle!
I know, right? I was like, King, I will break you.
Wow. Like, one of the most difficult characters to learn how to use, and he's one of the easiest to learn how to counter.
No!
Because for all of these massive button combo inputs, you can break any one of his throws as he's transitioning with one correct button press.
Yeah, but you have to know which one it is.
Like I'm saying, you get to learn one button for each throw I've got. I have to learn a combination of 16.
Yeah, but it's not easy, because a lot of his animations look similar.
It's easier to learn that than it is to learn the throws.
I don't know about that. Okay. Going okay, so square, square, triangle, X versus, okay, you have 4.5 frames from the time King puts his foot down to go, is King going to touch his hip or is he going to touch his knee?
Press box to not die.
You have 4 frames. If he's going to touch his hip, you got to hit X. If he touches his knee, you got to hit...
Choose one. If you screw that one up, then after he power bombs you and he picks you up for the second, then you can just hit triangle and bust out of it.
Anyway, folks.
It depends.
You can break part of his chain.
I know that. I put months of studying the strategy guide for the upcoming tournament. I go, King will not beat me in this Tekken tournament. And I would study the frames per second of his moves to know.
Like, I'm not saying he's the hardest character to learn. I'm saying he is the hardest to learn that is so easy to counter.
No, I actually think he is the hardest character to learn. He has so much. He has more stuff to try to memorize than any of the other characters.
All right.
Anyway, so I got another little bit of news going on right now. So I'm going to open this up real quick. Who is a fan of Firefly?
Duh.
What? Really?
I got to do it.
No, you don't.
That's a ridiculous question to ask. I'm pretty sure that, you know, most of our fans are probably fans of Firefly.
So,
and if they're not, then they need to get smart and start being fans of Firefly.
Seriously.
So are the cheese.
So the reason why I go ahead and ask this, apparently, not too terribly long ago, they actually released a gameplay trailer of the new Firefly Online. And
it has the potential of being amazing.
Isn't that going to be a mobile game?
Yeah.
MOBA?
Mobile.
Like on your phone.
Oh!
It's a PC mobile game.
What?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wait, no! That could be so amazing! I would actually be a smuggler.
You know, it could be...
It could still be amazing.
But I'm going to admit, I have little hopes on it, especially when they were showing off some of the ship designs. It looks like all they did for, like, you know, customize your ship, just take out different parts of Serenity and just change it up a little bit.
But you only get one type of ship?
That's all they kind of showed so
far.
That's
all they've showed so far, but, I mean, that would be like having Star Trek and you've only got the Galaxy class.
My question wasn't that design actually kind of old?
The Firefly? Yeah, it was an old beater.
Yeah, so, I'm like...
That was part of its charm.
Part of its charm was it was just amazing.
But, like, I would like to... You know, I hate myself for saying this, but I would like to see a good Firefly MMO.
Why would you hate yourself?
That universe would be perfect
for an MMO.
Because, I mean, not everybody can be Mal Reynolds.
Of course.
Yeah.
But there are so many people and so many roles that you could fill, and they could turn it into, like, a player-slash-job-based economy rather easily.
As long as if they mixed it with elements, like, I don't... As long as the fighting is, I don't know, not like EVE.
Well, no, I mean, they could certainly make it more active.
Hell, you could actually
then
do
again.
You could actually even have, like, on-foot stuff going
on,
too.
Dude, blockade running and smuggling would be so fun.
Do you think you're going to be able to do that much, though, on mobile, though? I don't know.
Could you imagine playing a Firefly-flavored Artemis?
Ooh.
Artemis. What the heck's that?
Okay.
Artemis is a helm simulator.
It's amazing. Like, if you get a chance sometime, TKO, I'm going to run you through it, and basically it's straight up like being part of the Starship Enterprise.
It's a helm simulator.
Pretty much.
It's like Star Trek Bridge Simulator?
Basically. You've got your captain, you've got your comms, you've got targeting/sensors, you've got your weapons, security, et cetera, and each role is played by a different player. And you're all communicating with each other, either in person or over voice.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
It's pretty neat. You should really give it a shot
sometime.
It
looks pretty neat.
I mean, if you're only playing with, say, your close buddies, but... Ooh.
Well, think about it. The Good Game Guys versus, say, I don't know...
The universe!
There you go.
There's currently 4 of us.
We need 2 other people.
See, for Firefly, we would consider we'd need a captain, we'd need a pilot, we'd need a...
We need a Jane.
We'd need public relations.
Dang, what
Jane.
I need a captain or what I need a pilot? It's a captain or pilot. Captain
mechanic
or pilot.
Slash engineer.
A doctor.
Doctor.
And then we need whatever River was.
Which one's River? The little hot chick?
Brother of doctor, or sister of doctor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you mean an awesome hot chick.
Well, we need to figure out the
so
two
we
roles.
Need some crazy Reaver weapon.
Yeah, we need that, and we need to figure out Shepard.
Oh, God. Really?
Well...
You gotta have Shepard, man. Shepard's pretty cool.
Yeah, I suppose every ship has a chaplain.
Yeah.
Mine didn't.
You wouldn't want Shepard on your ship?
To be fair, I wouldn't.
Really?
I mean, Book was rad and all,
okay,
but you're not getting Book.
I guess.
I'm gonna be a freaking smuggler, so I want to know. That's not a good. That's not what he would want. Shut up. Love thy neighbor. I am. I'm loving stealing his stuff.
Then you've got, like, you know, two or three other players, like, hiding out in your, like, stowing away in one of your hidden nooks and crannies.
But, let me just run you through, like, one of the best things about Shepherd Book. The Lord says we can't kill anyone, but he's a little fuzzy on the details about shooting him in the knee.
Okay.
He's a little fuzzy on kneecaps, though.
That was okay. Yeah, but he is an exception.
Right. Book is probably the cool one. I'm sure
yeah.
there are numerous shepherds out there that are not quite so neat.
Yeah, I guess.
I'd probably
like
fire
said,
out of an airlock.
Not everyone can be Mal Reynolds. Not everyone
yeah.
can be flying the Serenity. So if you've got your own crew, you probably got your own crew. Like,
that's true.
Like, come up with a role to play and then play it.
Huh.
But that would be so cool.
That would be cool.
But it would be so
frustrating.
Difficult to get it right.
Yeah.
We need to kickstart it.
Who the fuck's going to make it?
Right?
I don't trust any AAA developer currently to make that game right.
Damn it.
No.
Like, we need some new blood. We need some people that are actually interested in the project.
Well, if the guy...
I'm curious to see how this Firefly Online thing is going to be.
Indie developers, if you're listening to the show right now, start coming up with the concept.
No, I already know who you approach this with. We go to the guy who's creating Star Citizen, and if he finishes that game before he dies, we have him work on Firefly.
Who?
Roberts, huh?
Yeah.
Well, first, I guess we would have to buy the rights to Firefly so we could try and sell it to them.
Oh, yeah.
Or just Firefly people and him to talk. But, hey, you guys talk.
That, you know, I'm not sure that we're going to have that big of an effect on it, but it's a neat idea.
If we can get Nathan Fillion on our side.
Ooh.
Speaking of, by the way, that actually is kind of the cool thing they showed off in the trailer is that they are going to try it. I think they're going to have a returning cast. So that's a plus right there. Like,
oh,
they showed off
the guy.
Well, they showed off Nathan Fillion being a part of it, so.
Yeah, unfortunately, they did kill Wash.
Yeah, I was like, really?
And that makes me sad.
Yeah.
I'm a sad panda.
So we're going to go ahead and start wrapping up some of the, at least, the one other news article I kind of have, because god damn it, the summer is pretty slow.
Yep.
The other thing
people
I really
are out with their family.
People are waiting for November.
The other thing I really got right now
yeah.
is that Telltale's The Walking Dead is going to be having a third season.
Of course it is.
Nope. That's suck for wallets.
Yeah, it really is. So with that
said, for wallets, but it's going to be so good for Dragon Age fanatics.
So I have an announcement for our listeners. This is mostly going to attend to our California residents because we got a nice little thing going. We've mentioned Deep South Barrels going on for at least two episodes now.
Yep.
And, for anyone that's in the California area that attends the Orange County Fairgrounds, if you're willing to go check out their booth going on, mention the Good Game Guys, and they'll hit you up with a little bit of a discount.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So, like I said, Deep South Barrels, pretty cool guys. See if we can get something going with them, and hopefully we'll get our barrel pretty damn soon so we can start making our own homebrew.
Cool.
Right? Gamer fool.
Cool.
Drink it.
We need to try that black cherry beer.
We do.
We have
to
figure
that.
Out how to do that.
We
That's
do.
A thing?
We,
not
we need
yet.
To, we're about to make it.
Black cherry.
Wait, we should be talking about this over here.
We should. That's not a thing. You don't mention it.
Right?
Well, we could mention it because maybe our fans could make it for us.
Right?
Huh.
Since we already have
black
Since
we,
have,
we already have the Good Games Brewmaster.
Lol.
Well, we already have some also interesting.
My cousin away from the brew.
Right.
My roommate is a brewmaster. Like, that's what he does. So what is it? Black cherry what?
We're trying to come up with a decent way to make a, you know, a good quality, high alcohol content black cherry beer.
Okay. I can possibly make this work. All right.
Oh, right.
All right.
All right.
All right, this is your mission. Should you choose to accept it?
Well, I'm gonna accept the mission. I can't promise that when I go to get the help, it follows through. So,
do it.
I'll try.
Do it.
I will try.
Hey, Stephanie.
What's up?
Lace up them Nikes and just do it.
Just do it.
In the chat room says or suggests that we should just make it a lambic beer.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, got that little announcement going on.
Dude, that'd be the most. We have the most awesome beer ever. It just comes in barrels.
Lol.
That is pretty awesome.
Screw glasses. Screw just wooden barrels.
So yeah. Again, just a quick summary.
We just drink out of the giant barrel.
Yes.
So
like you do in Fairy Tale.
Quick summary for everyone. Again, this is mostly for our California residents. If you go to the Orange County Fair, just look up the Deep South Barrels booth, and like I said, mention the Good Game guys. Like, they'll hit you up with a discount.
How long is that fair running?
Up until August 10th, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Jesus, that's
so,
not fair. That's
an
invasion.
So we don't have too much... So you guys don't have too much time if you're interested in doing this. Like, do this now.
All right.
We're going to go ahead and pretty much start finishing things up. So again, folks,
how
if you ever want...
How many times are we going
to
start?
I know. We've already started to finish things up.
I made the announcement, guys. Now I'm going to start plugging the stuff with Facebook.
And now start. The
Good Game Guys, you can follow us on our Facebook page at Good Game Guys Show.
Really?
And our Twitter account, which is the Good Game Guys 1.
And our soon-to-be Twitch account.
Which we are currently in the process of setting up.
Yep.
You'll actually get to see some of the shenanigans we do.
Hopefully. We do need the video equipment.
Well, we can still live stream.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And I think we'll probably start working on getting a Patreon account set up pretty soon, aren't we?
Dude,
I suppose.
You know you ought to put a fifth of something in this man and watch him try to fly.
That's what the DDS. That's what the DDS is, man.
I know.
So remember, fans, if you want to see the DDS happen,
it's not happening yet. I have to get it started.
Get him drunk, and we do like challenges, like fly in between the pillars of that bridge.
That's gonna be the most.
I know.
How many times could I crash a plane into this bridge before it gets old and boring?
I'm thinking in the high hundreds.
Wow.
Especially because you'll probably have a different remark or hit it at a different angle or a piece of your plane will land somewhere.
All right.
Alrighty. So, let's see. Facebook,
what
Twitter.
Was that?
That was a dropped call. Facebook, Twitter, also our Steam group, which is Good Game Guys Show. And, yeah, that's about it. So, everybody, thanks for listening. Tune in next week where we'll hopefully get one of the members of War Thunder in on the show. And as always, folks, good game.
Good game.
Yay.
Be nice out there, you internet trolls.
Or not. Troll away.